Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders. I'm Adam Weinrib, joined by FanSided's MLB insider Robert Murray, wearing a pair of colorful hats. Thank you for joining us Wednesday afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern. This is when you can expect the Baseball Insiders to be on your feed, on your YouTube, on your computer from this point through the stretch run. When things get hot, we will be back heating up, talking about the postseason, talking about roster shakeups, talking about the impending winter meetings. But for now, Wednesdays at 3 o'clock Eastern, followed by a private Q&A with Robert in the Discord, Thursdays at 3 o'clock Eastern. So make sure to join us for that as well in the Discord. That's the only place that you can get that. But we are coming at you once a week now. Exciting things on the Baseball Insiders feed channel. And the postseason races are heating up, featuring a team of the Cleveland Guardians that we left for dead a couple of weeks, months ago, featuring Pocket Pancakes, featuring whatever the Minnesota Twins are up to, personnel-wise and long-term future-wise. And here to break it all down is Robert Murray. Robert, thank you for joining me.
Hey, it's good to be here. Feels like it's been a while since we've done this, but yeah. It's good to be here. Plenty is happening in baseball, even post-trade deadline, which is a really cool thing. Maybe not so cool for certain teams, looking at the Minnesota Twins and that fan base, which is rightfully upset by that news today. But We'll dive into that. We'll get into what's going on over there with Minnesota, but it is good to be here with you as always. Happy hump day. Happy Wednesday. How are we doing, Adam?
Good. It does feel like it's been a while because we did as much content as humanly possible before the trade deadline and into the weekend afterwards when you and I did two live shows at the National in Chicago, which was, we've said before, we'll say it again, extremely sick. But we took a bit of a breather and I will be on vacation next week. So expect a new co-host who is cooler than me, almost definitely. But this is the first one we have done in a while. We want to encourage everyone again to join us in the Discord. Conversation is still very weird in there. So join the weird conversation. You can also read us in the Moonshot. That's FanSided MLB's weekly email newsletter where Robert Murray's insight and hot takes and analysis from me and the rest of the FanSided MLB staff writers will get right to your inbox. You can read all that and more on fansided.com/baseball-insiders. And I wrote a column comparing Aaron Boone to George Costanza yesterday.
That was cool. I like that one. That I want to give you a shout. Yeah.
That was for Robert. Robert's work also goes there as well. Of course, everybody checking that out. If you want to read Robert's work, go to his Twitter feed. Obviously, but then you can go to the fansided.com baseball insiders feed. Asking what team is on the hat. This is happily the Jersey Diners, aka the Somerset Patriots, aka the New York Yankees Double A team, aka a better roster than the Major League New York Yankees. It's the alt logo though. It's a pancake with a little butter baseball on it. They don't wear these in the games, I don't think. They wear this guy. They wear steak and eggs sometimes, but man, it's good merch, everybody. So get out to Somerset, New Jersey. Robert Murray, I would rather be a Yankee fan than a Minnesota Twins fan right now, though. And I think we can maybe start there. As the viewers hear that Joe Ryan is going to win the game tonight, I mean, that's highly possible. He's good. He's facing the Yankees. That makes sense. But the Minnesota Twins don't have a lot to cheer for. And it's long term now as well. And I think a lot of people thought, okay, this monstrous sell off, whatever the Twins are doing at the deadline, is creating this entire Instagram grid of goodbye posts, is because they are gearing up for a sale. They want to clean the slate as much as possible. They'll entertain Ryan again in the offseason. Maybe even Byron Buxton can be swayed to stop being so loyal. Like, this is the beginning of the end, but also, a new hope on the horizon. The sale of the team was a huge moment and a thing that a lot of Minnesotans were waiting for. And here we go. The Pollad family just deciding we're going to take on some minority investors, but we're going to stay in control. And so then what was all this for? And what are people buzzing about in baseball today against this weird reversing of course?
Yeah, this was something that came out basically as soon as I woke up this morning. And I was scrolling Twitter and I saw it pop up, the statement from the Twins. And I was like, that's a really weird thing for a fake account to put out there. And then all of a sudden I realized it was actually like the real Minnesota Twins account. And it's something that Twins fans are not going to be happy about. And I mean, I can't blame them. The Pollad family is, they've cut corners. They've have not invested too much into the roster overall there. And they got good people in place, whether it's manager. I know there's some folks who might disagree with that, but he's like he's a good manager, a good guy. I'm convinced Cooper's chewing something behind me. So once I'm done talking here, I gotta figure this out, because this sounds like it's like a cord or something. So give me a second here.
Pick the man up. Give Cooper a cord. What are you gonna do? Look, occasionally, if anybody's not dog life, I mean, occasionally dogs just eat stuff, and sometimes that stuff is cords. I had to walk a very impatient Biscuit around the street like 3 times this morning. He didn't like the construction equipment. He didn't like the wet cement. There are a lot of things that guy doesn't like. But one of the things that he does like is obviously chewing on electrical wires. So he and Cooper share that in common. Was it a cord?
It was a cord. He also peed under my bed. So
electric. What a guy.
We're off to a strong start here. All of a sudden I went down there and there was a very strong stench of pee. Mm-hmm. So that's not great. But it could be worse. It could be worse.
Maybe the pee came out of the cord. We don't know.
No, I mean, this is the kind of questions that you can only find on the Baseball Insiders here. But going back to the Twins here, it's something that caught a lot of people off guard around baseball, but it just never seemed like there was like any significant strong interest from buyers and like in actually like putting together like a proper offer for them. And now it stays with the family. It's, to me, it's not a very good sign for what's to come here for the Twins, just the organization and just the roster overall. We saw the epic sell-off that they had at the deadline. I can't imagine it's going to end up including like a Byron Buxton type in the offseason, because he's been pretty adamant that he wants to end his career in Minnesota. But it makes you wonder what the future could look like for Joe Ryan. Ryan was a player that they were not eager to discuss at the deadline. There were some teams that obviously expressed like some pretty serious interest, the Boston Red Sox included. But they really wanted to hold on to him. And you know, who knows what his future ends up holding in Minnesota long term because of this. But he is surely going to be asked about plenty in the offseason.
Yeah, and I think some teams might want to bid up the Boston Red Sox, who made their stance very clear in terms of laying breadcrumbs for the upcoming offseason. The Red Sox are probably thrilled with the news that Minnesota plans to remain confusing that came out this morning. More on that as we learn it. Let's talk about the rest of the league, and I want to give all the credit in the world to the Seattle Mariners, who are on fire and who are now tied, just like the Dodgers and Padres, tied for the division lead. They are even up with the Astros, and this has happened before. This is not the first time they have been evened up. So you'd still bet on Houston until proven otherwise, I would say. But the Mariners are playing incredible baseball. They are not only, you know, in pole playoff position, but they are threatening for the best record in the American League, which is completely up for grabs, a race that involves all three division leaders, plus the Seattle Mariners, plus the Red Sox. I mean, you can throw them in there. There is a lot undecided with a month and a half remaining of the regular season slate. And the Mariners are doing all this despite Eugenio Suarez not playing very well. There's been very little contribution from Suarez other than the juice and the joy that he has brought with the reunion. Tyler Locklear not doing much in Arizona either, unfortunately. So a bit of a weird trade where looks like a double dud at this point, but it's hard to argue with the Mariners' position given how strong they've been. So I am going to look at this optimistically and say the Mariners, who have been on helium alert ever since the trade deadline, things can only go further up given that they've gotten almost no contributions from Suarez, who is a really good baseball player. But curious your thoughts here on Suarez, the trade, and where the Mariners' ceiling is right now with him sort of toiling and Julio Rodriguez carrying things.
Yeah, and James, I want to answer your question first of how much the labor uncertainty ends up impacting a team selling. I mean, we've seen the Rays. They're going to be doing their thing based on all the reports coming out of Tampa Bay. So obviously it didn't end up impacting them. But it definitely doesn't help, and we're definitely heading for a lockout of some sort. It's just the question at this point is whether or not we actually lose games. So that is going to end up being the big pressing question over the next 12, 18 months or however long that time is. But yeah, it's not like an end all, like be all thing, but it definitely doesn't help. But going to the Mariners, the fact that they're going on this run with Suarez struggling as much as he has just speaks to the overall depth and talent that that roster has, and especially offensively. I was on the radio in Seattle a couple weeks ago, right after the deadline, and they asked me what the key was for them to win the World Series, and whether it was Suarez or whether it was Naylor or whether it was the pitching staff, and I said it was Julio Rodriguez. And when they signed Rodriguez to that massive extension, you only give players that caliber of money if you think that they can end up being the difference between winning a World Series and not. And if he ends up playing to his ability, I mean, he's got the potential to be one of the best players in ball. Like, there's no question about it, ifs, ands, or buts. And he's been very good for him this stretch. And, I mean, him, Josh Naylor, stealing as many bases as he has. And, I mean, he's not – you look at him, you don't think base stealer. But yet he's been very good at that. He's been opportunistic. He's not the fastest guy in the entire world, but he steals bases at a pretty high-end rate. And they just – they have other areas in the roster as well. Their pitching is good. It's only going to get better once some players come off the injury list here. To me, they're a very scary team, and they should absolutely be taken seriously in the American League, especially the American League West. To think they almost got Duran from the Twins. I mean, that was never done, but there is, I've said it before, and there's been other reporters who've said the same thing. Like, there was a moment that day I thought he was going to Seattle, and Philadelphia ended up getting him at the last moment. But they're scary enough without him, but their roster overall is great. And Suarez, like, that addition so far has not worked out. I think he's hitting like 098 with a home run right now. I don't know what his other numbers are, slugging or OBP or OPS or whatever look like at this point, but considering his other numbers, they're probably not very good. But he'll be fine. And the Mariners, once they get him back surging, are going to be even better off for it.
321, three bombs for Julio in the last week. The Mariners are doing exactly what they'd hoped they would. They're shooting for a higher winning percentage at this point than that classic stated goal that has been so roundly mocked. We didn't even have this in the outline, but I do think, I don't know if we can get past this point without talking about, again, the other trade deadline winner that has evened up things in a Western race, the San Diego Padres, who we give a lot of love to on this show. The Dodgers fans, there are some cocky Dodgers fan tweets from back in June that are circulating on my one just past my Twitter feed during this show. Quote, obviously anything, this is June 30th, obviously anything can happen, but it would take a major Dodgers collapse under 500 with the Giants and Padres playing 700 baseball over the second half in order to make it interesting. I give that a 0.25% chance of happening. That's from, that's the Vias tweet. I think that's our guy from the Discord.
Ouch.
Yeah. Shout out to Vias. You know, that's him quoting someone else. I don't want to put that person under the bus. But the Padres have now evened things up with the Dodgers. They play six times in the next week and a half. I don't know. Again, you don't want to bet against the Dodgers. You don't want to bet against the Astros. But the Padres have set themselves up about as nicely as you could have hoped with their deadline, with their run. And now they're where they need to be. So now it's all ahead of them, like Aaron Boone likes to say. It's right in front of them. Just win games.
Yeah. As soon as you said that, I'm like, I knew exactly where you got that one from.
Yeah, the old Boonie discourse.
Yeah. The Padres are legit, man. They're really good. And their roster, I mean, they've got no real holes on the team. Like, it was catcher, it was outfield, it was pitching, it wasn't necessarily bullpen, but yet they went out and got Mason Miller. Yeah. They're just so talented overall that they are just an incredibly scary team. And Philly's changed since, like, upgrading at closer for sure. But to me, the team that has the best chance of dethroning the Dodgers is San Diego. And they are, to me, they're a nightmare team to face in the postseason. They got, I mean, star players, they got pitching, their bullpen is just phenomenal. I don't know what to think of the manager in a high end, like, deep postseason game. I think that's a question that needs to be answered yet for sure. But I like the guy. I like the person there. And he's obviously done a tremendous job with that team overall this season. But San Diego is a team that should not be slept on by any means. I mean, how could you sleep on San Diego? And I mean, we've praised AJ Preller on this podcast plenty, but the job that he's done assembling this roster, and he turns it over so much, and in this year, he really made it a point to, like, add some controllable guys. And getting Mason Miller, you're going to have him sign for about four-ish years. J.P. Sears is another guy who signed long-term. You obviously don't know what's going to happen with Ryan O'Hearn or Ramon Laureano, but they have their window is going to be wide open for a while, and that makes it easier to part with the amount of prospects that they did. And as I've said repeatedly, there is no better executive in baseball who is better at replenishing the farm system than Preller. This is going to be his most difficult task yet, but if previous history is any indication, he'll be totally fine, and that farm system will be okay. And I don't want to make this sound like that was not a shot at the Brewers, by the way, in saying that the Padres are the Dodgers' biggest competition. Mm-hmm. I gotta see the Brewers prove it in the postseason, because they obviously advanced to the NLCS and got to Game 7 against the Dodgers. I want to say it was in 2018.
Yeah,
I was there for that and covering the Brewers at the time, which was pretty crazy. But since then, they've been pretty consistently bounced out of the postseason. They are absolutely a World Series caliber team. I mean, they play phenomenal defense. Their pitching is good. Their hitting is good. Their manager, Pat Murphy, is phenomenal. And he's probably going to win the NL Manager of the Year again. So the Brewers are going to be great competition, but the Padres, to me, they are just a very scary team.
And we all know how deep the NL playoff field is, but the current postseason bracket just underscores it. You know, if the Brewers want to prove themselves, they are going to, at this moment in time, face the San Diego Padres in the NLDS if the Padres can beat the Chicago Cubs in the four spot. Now, again, that just supposes they end up in the wild card. The Padres and Dodgers are tied right now. This could all change. The Padres could end up as the number one seed. The Brewers could avoid them until the championship series. Like, so much could occur. But right now, there's at least an outside chance that the Padres, the team that everybody believes could be the biggest threat to the Dodgers, just match up with the freaking Brewers in their first round playoff matchup, which would be, you want to talk about a proving ground, that's how you do it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that would be a tough road to the World Series. That'd be really tough. Starting with Milwaukee, not starting, but you know what I mean. But
yeah, we just ran over the Chicago Cubs like the Braves last year. Sorry, Braves. The Braves were the sacrificial lamb in last year's NL playoffs. Right now, I don't know how many people would pick the Cubs if they had to visit Petco Park. But if the Padres have to go to Chicago, it's a different story. I mean, again, This postseason field is crazy. Objectively, no matter how it sorts itself out.
No, it's going to be phenomenal. And we also got to include Philly in this. So you have, Dodgers, Padres, Brewers, Philly. I mean, you also got the Mets lurking in there too. They kind of some questions there. But there's just so many really good quality teams in this as well that it's going to be a blast. I honestly, I know it feels like we say it every year, but this postseason could be shaping up to be one of the better ones in recent memory. It's got a shot to be really freaking good.
And yet there are so few quality teams on the American League side of the bracket. And yet I'm going to put a couple of dollars on the American League winning the World Series. Cause just like, that's the kind of thing that happens, you know, a team fights its way through the bracket and then inexplicably beats the top tier team.
I'll let you bet. I can't bet. I can't bet on baseball, sadly, but that's okay.
We know that baseball does not, they frown upon media members betting on baseball. I will not be betting on baseball either. maybe football, probably not though.
I'll definitely be betting on football. Yeah, 100%. That'll be a blast. Yeah,
I'm not a good bettor, it turns out. But you know what? Maybe we revisit the $20 monthly limit during the NFL season and see what we can do. But if you'd asked me to bet on who was going to finish in the American League side of the playoff bracket a month ago, I would not have told you the team with the star closer under gambling investigation, a starter under gambling investigation, and Stephen Kwan on the trade block. But here we are, the Cleveland Guardians, and they're facing down the team that maybe had the most insurmountable American League division lead we've seen in a few years. 15.5 the Tigers led that division by. Now it's 4 in the all-important loss column. The Guardians still have a negative run differential. They did trade Shane Bieber, even though they held on to Stephen Kwan. But suddenly they have a chance at not just the wild card. You know, they're a game back of the Yankees, but tied in the loss column. One game back of the Red Sox in the loss column, I believe. But they have a shot at the AL Central, I would say. You know, it sounds crazy to say it out loud, but it's plausible. What are people around the game saying about what is happening in Cleveland?
At this point, the common sentiment that I've heard from people around baseball is that thank goodness they didn't trade Stephen Kwan or, I mean, Class A. I mean, although Class A wouldn't have factored into this stretch, but they've been dominant in this stretch. And I want to say they're, what, 22-8 in their last 30? Yeah. I mean, they've been fantastic. And they have someone who I consider, I think in a couple of years, we're going to be talking about Stephen Vogt being one of the best managers in baseball, whether or maybe even like the best manager in the American League. He is phenomenal. And going from and trying to replace Tito Francona in Cleveland is a really difficult task, but he's done so masterfully. And he's got that team believing. He's got that team feeling real good, even when a lot of people, including myself, counted them out. But yet here they are. With a definite fighting chance with what, like less than 2 months to go here. I'm buying it. I'm not buying them to the extent that they're going to win the division. I think that might be a little too tough to pull off, but getting a postseason spot and who knows, maybe even winning a series there feels possible. And if you would have told me, I would have said that a month ago, I would have thought you were absolutely crazy, but the Guardians got me believing again. And yeah, as I said, thank goodness they didn't trade Stephen Kwan, even though the Padres tried, the Dodgers tried, there was other teams who tried. All of them came up empty, but it was not for a lack of effort.
Meanwhile, down arrow on the Astros, like we said, now tied for that division lead, and who knows where they go. I would still bank on them winning it, but I don't know if I'd bank on it. You know, I'd think about it, but I wouldn't put my bank on it. They've lost Josh Hader this week, his first ever trip to the injured list outside of a trip to the COVID IL, threw 36 pitches on Friday night against the Yankees. I'm not sure what kind of statement Joe Espada was trying to make in a game in which he had a 3-run lead against a team that stinks, but you know, not my decision. I'm not the manager. And now his shoulder is barking. So you wrote explicitly about how the Astros should not go revisit Ryan Pressly, who is floating in that free agent purgatory after losing his spot with the Cubs. Do you think that that is something they would actually entertain? It's a relationship that has been fractured, as Dana Brown said. Is there any chance they take that plunge, or is it much more likely that Pressly is done with the 2025 season?
Yeah, I think there's a 0% chance of that happening. I know there was reports of the Astros being interested in Pressly. That was not the case. I would be really surprised if Pressly pitched this year. My guess is we've probably seen the end of Presley's career is going to be my read on the situation as of right now. And if that's the case, I mean, he's put up a tremendous numbers overall. What played 7 seasons with the Astros was great there. Obviously it did not go well, and it was the Josh Hader signing that really fractured the relationship there, because he was the hometown guy, the closer in Houston, and he was fantastic in that role. And then they ended up losing a reliever in that offseason to an injury that was going to be that made him out for the season. They signed Hader to a 5-year, $95 million deal, moved him into the closer role. They kept Pressly like aware of the situation, but at that point, once they signed him, it was a situation that was beyond repair, and that relationship never improved or never got better. And in the offseason, it became pretty clear that they needed to move on, and they moved him to the Cubs. And obviously didn't work out with the Cubs. It did not go well at all. Got DFA and then released by the team. But I know there was interest in Pressly elsewhere. The Twins were one of those teams. I know there was another team in there that was interested in him as well. But I don't expect him to be signing. I could be wrong. Maybe he changes his mind, but I don't think we're going to be seeing him pitch this year.
There, you heard it here first. Probably not going to be a solution in Houston, which means Houston sort of solutionless at this point while they wait out the Hader scenario. But it probably makes more sense to wait than take the plunge on Pressly. Okay, anything in that notebook? I know you wrote about potential waiver wire targets for teams down the stretch, aka players who are just sort of wasting away on non-contenders who might be placed on waivers in the near future. Last time we were on the show, Roman Anthony's extension broke a couple seconds before we hopped on. Everyone always asks about what extensions are coming next. So waiver guys, extension possibilities, what do you got for me?
Yeah, I'll start with the waiver guys. The first one that popped into my mind was Tommy Pham with the Pirates. And there's your Pirates talk, Baron. And my reasoning for this is simple. Is like, he's obviously toward the end of his career, and I know what the public perception is of Tommy Pham, but he has really impressed people with the Pirates and also in his previous spots, with the leadership and the example that he sets for the younger players in the roster. Like, there are very few guys in baseball who work harder than Tommy Pham, and the Pirates really value that. But you also, like, I think, want to give him a shot at winning a World Series, or at least having a chance at the postseason. Obviously, that's not going to happen with Pittsburgh this season. So that made me think that he could possibly be a candidate to be put on waivers. I don't know who would claim him, because there was not really that much interest overall at the deadline. But he seemed like a candidate to me. And this one, I'm saying it right now, total speculation. This is not sourced. No one has suggested this to me. But I wondered if Devin Williams could end up being a guy like that. And my reasoning for this is that tenure with the Yankees has been as big of a disaster as it could possibly imagine. It's been just a huge flop. And I wondered if a change of scenery and just getting him out of there and just admitting that you were wrong with that move could end up being the play. Do I think that's likely? No. Do I think he finishes the season with the Yankees? Oh, for sure. But I think it's worthy of a conversation that should be had internally. So we'll see if they do it, but I'd be flat out stunned if they even put him on waivers, because he'd get picked up in a second.
My thought with Devin Williams is just that if they are going to entertain that, maybe it's a post September 1st thing to prevent him from ending up on some rival's playoff roster. But as someone who does watch these Yankees, I feel like I have to note that the rosters expanding two spots in September is not going to be enough expansion to make them comfortable with the number of decisions they have to make, especially in the bullpen. Because Austin Slater, one of the Yankees' two hilarious deadline additions who's already on the injured list, is on a 4 to 6 week recovery timeline. So he's supposed to come back at some point. And if, when he does, and if Ahmed Rosario does too, the Yankees don't have enough, like, they'll send down J.C. Ascara for whoever comes back first, if there are no injuries. Then when Slater comes back, they don't have anyone offensively to send down, because Rosario and Judge have moved around to accommodate Slater. They never DFA'd anyone for him, and they don't have anyone else they can DFA. So if Slater comes back, he takes an expanded roster spot. That means there's only one available for the bullpen, and that includes Yerry De Los Santos and Ryan Yarbrough and Fernando Cruz and Brent Hedrick and Devin Williams and Jonathan Loaisiga. Like, there are, technically, they can make it happen, but they would have to demote Yerry at some point, who's got an ERA in the mid ones. Like, Hedrick's been better than Devin Williams. They're going to demote him, but he's been better than Devin Williams. Loaisiga, like, are they sure they want him around? I'm not. But, you know, he's a guy on the injured list who has to be accommodated at some point. So you can do this by demoting De Los Santos for Yarbrough, demoting Hedrick for Fernando Cruz, and using Loaisiga as your expanded roster guy. You don't have to DFA anybody. But, you know, if you'd rather use your expanded roster spot on Yerry, then you might have to DFA Loaisiga. You might have to entertain something weird with Devin Williams. Just saying.
No, I think you're spot on, and it's a tough one. It's really tough. I don't know what the heck they're gonna end up doing with that entire situation there. I'm glad it's not my responsibility to come up with it, because that's tough. That's real tough. But the other one was what, extension candidates that you wanted?
Yeah, if there's anybody, I mean, everyone always asks at the end of basically every show we do, like, any other extensions cooking. So I try to get ahead of it this time of year.
No, I like that. Obviously, we've talked about Jacob Mizrowski with the Brewers, but as of last check, nothing's been cooking there. The player that I think should be, like, the Angels should absolutely get ahead of Zach Neto at this point. Like, he's a phenomenal player. And if you can end up extending him and getting some value there, I think that could be a really smart play. It could save them or tens of millions, maybe even hundreds of millions, like similar to the case of Roman Anthony. And the other one would be Jack Caglione. And the Royals, I mean, they obviously did the Bobby Witt Jr. extension, and that looks like a very good move for them. And Caglione is going to end up being a very key part of their future there in Kansas City as well. So I think that's a player that they should get a head on for sure. They should seriously consider doing that. I mean, so we'll see if they do. I'll address the other one, Paul Skeens, but no, I don't see that happening. So yeah, that's my spiel on Paul Skeens.
That's today's that. Yeah. That's
and also the A's too. That's a good shot, RG. I should absolutely give the A's some love there because they actually do have some very good young players on that team.
Yeah, I love watching the A's. It's a bummer they are where they are. But
yeah, I wish it was. I wish they had a better situation there, but alas, they do not.
I was going to try to end today's show by seeing how hard my jinx powers were by saying that the Brewers were up 6-0 and cruising on the way to their 12th victory and free burgers for everybody. But the Brian Reynolds and a 3-run home run and the time it took for me to even formulate that thought and get back onto the podcast. So it's now 6-3 with a runner on first and one out in the fifth. If the Brewers blow this free burgers game for their fans, they will be bounced in the NLDS this year. That's my proclamation. Sorry, Milwaukee.
I mean, free burger. Are they from George Webb's? Do we know?
Yeah. Today is the day. If they can get it to 12, George Webb will give people free burgers. But if they cannot get it to 12, I cannot stress this enough, that will be disastrous.
Yeah, that would not be good. That would have fans revolting in Milwaukee and going all over the place. They'll be totally fine. But free burgers, George Webb, good spot, very good spot. So we like burgers, especially free ones. Speaking of that, I have a free Chipotle meal today. So that is my breaking news for the afternoon.
The gold card or something else? What's going on?
Oh, I racked up enough points to. Yeah, I don't have the gold card. I'm not as cool as like Christian Yelich and those guys. Even though I was around Yelly when he got his gold card. Fun fact: I had, and this has since been kind of debunked by Yelich, or it was exaggerated, or he says it was exaggerated. But JT Realmuto confirmed it for me. Andy Haynes, the old Brewers pitching or the old Brewers hitting coach, once told me that Yelich and Realmuto in the minor leagues went to Chipotle 162 days in a row. So that is my fun fact of the day. Again, that's been confirmed, but also debunked by the people involved. So take it for whatever it's worth. But yeah, that was one of my more fun ones, and it went viral and had both of those guys respond. So thank you guys. I appreciate it.
The rare dual confirm and debunk. I will also say Milwaukee. George Webb sounds great. Never been. Milwaukee currently has a spot that is honestly neck and neck for me in terms of favorite ice cream frozen dessert I've ever had. I think I have to give the number one spot to Handles, which is sort of like in Ohio. There's one near Philly that I go to a lot. There's a lot of Handles in California. That ice cream is incredible. I had a Handles Graham Central Station cake for my birthday last year. Could not recommend it higher. But jockeying for that number one spot is Cops in Milwaukee, which is just out of control. And if Handles didn't exist, would be the runaway winner. And I'm perusing the week in flavors right now just because I can't get enough. And these look sick. And I'm so mad that I live where I live because these look outrageous.
Yeah, no, it's I'll tell you, Cops is a go-to for me. And I have my parents flying out here in a few weeks, and I'm kind of tempted to have them bring me Cops, just a burger. Ice cream's not going to hold, but their burgers are fantastic. And Drew is asking for my Chipotle order. I mean, why not? I'll give the people what they want. I go double rice. I do the brown rice and I do the white rice. I do double honey Chipotle chicken. Mm-hmm. I do fajitas, veggies. I do sour cream, and then I do cheese. So that is my order. Then I do a thing of chips, and it is absolutely delicious. So that, there you go. If you want to be me, you can get that order, because that's what I'm going to be having in a little bit here.
It was life changing for me when I looked and noticed that the rices have the same calories, because I, real dipshit siren, like would always go and be like, trying to be a little healthy today. I think I'll do the brown rice. And then I was trying to order online, and it basically said the rices have the same caloric content, you fool. And I was like, oh, great. Yeah, of course, the brown starch is not exceptionally healthy compared to the white starch. So it's white rice from here on out, I think, for me. But I'm doing sweet green tonight, which is also fake healthy. So that's where we are.
But hey, it's got the word healthy in it. So that's all that matters. That's all I heard. I didn't even hear the word fake.
Yeah, green, you know, forget about the sweet. What a savory green. Let's get that in the mix today.
Perfect.
We appreciate everybody joining us. As always, hit us on the Discord tomorrow afternoon, 3:00 Eastern, another Q&A by Robert. I will be away next week. Like I said, so the race for the guest host is on. Maybe it will be a cop's burger. Maybe it will be one of you. You'll all get the golden ticket. I don't know who's going to be on the show, but as always, when I'm not on, I can guarantee whoever it is will be more professional than I am in handling these duties. Join us in the Discord if you have not joined yet. Just hit that join button below. Get your link. Rumor mill tier or all-star tier. Read the moonshot right in your inbox and on the Baseball Insiders feed on fansider.com/baseball-insiders. Read it while the Aaron Boone, George Costanza comparison is hot. Robert Murray, thank you for joining me as always. Could not do the show without you, and you're going to do the show without me next week. We'll see how that turns out. Again, I'm betting on pretty well.
Yeah, I've got a cool text out, so we'll see if this person is able to do it.
A cool text has been sent.
Yeah, well, we'll see. It would be a fun one. So fingers crossed we can make it happen. But stay tuned, and we'll see everyone back here next week. What do you think, Adam? Well, not you, but me.
Well, no, I think you will. I think I won't be seeing anybody next week, but I look forward to seeing what you come up with, and I hope everybody joins us for next week's show. I will see everybody 2 weeks from today. Until then, on the Baseball Insiders, peep the channel. Lots of great stuff coming. Robert Murray, we will see everybody right back here in 1 week for you. I'll be here in 2 weeks. Obviously, see everybody later.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.